We are chatting in studio with Milford Mayor Rich Smith.
It's interesting that you reached out about Reval's property taxes because we've had a lot of residents, in particular in Milford and Stratford. So Mayor Chess, I'm coming for you next, asking about this. And it sounds like your office has had a lot of inquiries about this as well.
Well, even more than that, I've spent the last 2 months, if you saw my whiteboard, which I can actually show you a picture of.
You should actually. I'd like to see it.
I have a picture with me.
Of course you do.
I have spent endless hours with our finance director doing cost modeling, trying to figure out how to handle this reval, which is substantial.
Yeah.
Average increase of value of 40%. So a $500,000 house goes up over $700,000. And what happens in a reval is commercial ends up collapsing onto residential. So the burden shifts to residential, so it's very hard to mitigate that. At the same time, I'm dealing with that. We're dealing with the worst winter in 25 years. We're dealing with incredible increases in labor contracts. So we have a lot of cost pressures hitting us right now. But people are concerned with the reval and how it affects them. So I am going to use every tool in my tool belt to mitigate the effects. If I took this reval and applied it to the 24-25 budget that was passed, which was about 7.5%, it would have increased that increase to 15.5. That's the effect the reval has. It just has about an 8.8 percentage point effect no matter what you do, all other things being equal. So what I did was went to the Board of Aldermen last week and asked them to approve my plan to phase it in.
Okay.
So phasing it in is something Stratford's going to grapple with. Question is, do you phase it in or you rip the Band-Aid off and hit everybody with the big increase and say, it's a state mandate, and I don't think people realize that. It's funny, when I was elected, I was in the office 2 days, and the reval notices went out.
Yes.
And I see things on social media saying, oh, he's only in 2 days, he's already raising our property taxes.
Everybody's revals went up. It was
everybody's
crazy.
Did. And it is, you know, it's good news on one hand because your house is worth more.
Sure.
But as people tell me, it doesn't matter if I'm not selling.
Right.
And when I was campaigning, I met so many people who were being pushed out of their homes.
Mm.
And I had lunch with the governor the other day, and I said, we have to find a better way to raise the revenue. This is regressive. When you're pushing people out of their homes because they can't afford the taxes, something's wrong with that.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, to your point, Mayor Smith, we have a real issue with housing in general.
We do.
So we already have people who are desperate to find housing. But then on the other side of it, you've got people who are living in their homes and have been there for decades sometimes, and they can't afford it anymore.
That's right. It's
crazy. It's only adding, I think, to the pressure of our housing crunch that we're facing in Connecticut. What'd the governor say, by the way? I didn't know you had lunch with him the other day. You are a social butterfly.
Well, he came down to spend some time with me. We talked about, I even talked to him on the phone about this even more recently. We're going to have some discussions. There was nothing I was going to do to save me from the situation I'm facing today. But I had heard stories that Vermont was looking at somehow indexing it to income. You know, in California, when you buy a house, that's your value.
Mm.
And it stays that way until you sell it. But that has downstream consequences.
Right, because you know, if you put more value into your home, you do want to, you know, make more off of it. I mean, there's always that, obviously.
When you sell it. But
right.
California has its own host of problems.
So yes, it does.
We don't want to model ourselves after that.
But I agree.
So we're going to phase. I got approval. I got a couple of people who voted against the phase in. But this softens the blow. So it's over 5 years. So if your value went up $100,000, the first year will only increase the value by $20,000. So you're paying taxes on that new value, not the whole thing. So it actually saves the taxpayer money. And every year it will go up another 20%.
Okay.
Is that great? No, because people are going to get reval notices. But my feeling was soften the blow right now, and we're going to ease into it. It was the best of two bad options.
And you're just allowed to do a phase in?
I am.
Okay.
Under state statute, I have to advise OPM, which we recently did. I needed approval from my Board of Aldermen, so that's the path we're taking.
Okay.
And then, you know, I'm doing other things. I'm implementing a spending freeze effective April 1st, spending and hiring freeze. I just submitted the smallest bonding request in recent history and paid down $131 million in bond debt. So we're reducing debt. We're borrowing less. With this budget, a lot of it is contracts, Melissa. It's police is $2 million more than the last one. MEA is $980,000. I'm being hit with a lot of labor contracts. And Milford probably needed to do it. I mean, our people need to be paid fairly. The problem we were having as a city, we were losing good people to other towns that paid more. So, but I have escalating labor costs. I have higher than usual health care claims. They're up by millions of dollars this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I have snow, I have health care claims, I have labor contracts, and I have a reval.
I mean, I do want to get more into the weeds when you say a spending freeze. What exactly do you mean by that?
It means that I'm asking department heads to stop any new spending.
Got it.
You know, maybe you carve out public safety if there's issues with public safety or emergencies. But otherwise, we're going to ride in where we are now till the end of the fiscal year.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a cost containment measure. I've got to do everything I can. No new hires, no new spending. Let's bring in the end of this fiscal year as smoothly as we can.
Okay.
And, you know, next year is going to be a challenge, too.
Right.
My feeling is this. I ran on transparency. I feel like I've got to get out there and tell people what's going on. Listen, at the end of the day, I own it. I'm not blaming, well, kind of blaming the state for the mandate, but
I was going to say, I also think you could totally blame a little bit of the property taxes on one thing that's being talked about a lot is ECS funding and the fact that that hasn't been touched since 2013 and it continuously falls on local leaders who then have to bring the property taxes up because education budgets keep getting cut.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a little bit of onus on the state, I think.
We did pass the education budget this year.
Did that officially pass?
Yeah. Well, it's still got to go to the Board of Aldermen.
That's what I thought.
But it got through the Board of Finance.
Okay.
And Dr. Kutai and the board did a good job of containing it. Aside from contractual obligations, the increase was less than 1%.
Yeah, it was pretty minimal. I noticed
something.
That.
So I was pleased with that. So we have a lot of cost pressures, but we're doing everything we can to contain those costs. And as I started to say, I own it. I mean, it's unpleasant, the reval. But I see the stuff on social media blaming me for this and blaming me for that. Listen, first of all, we don't have a mill rate yet. People are out there talking about the mill rate. The finance director publishes a draft one after the Board of Finance votes. That's not the final mill rate. The Board of Aldermen still have to go through the budget.
Mm-hmm.
We won't have a final budget until then. But we have a pretty good idea of where it's going to land. My goal was I ran on lower taxes, keep taxes to cost of living and inflation. If you look at my budget as it stands right now, if you take out pensions and all, it goes below 3. Even with all that in and all these labor contracts in, it comes out to about 3.2, which is pretty reasonable. Now, you throw the reval on, you know, if we didn't phase in, that would shoot up to 11.
Wow.
So the phase-in is going to allow me to bring it in, again, all things still need to be decided by the Board of Aldermen, but well under 5%, closer to inflation, which I think the people in Milford will understand. I mean, that's the result of a lot of hard work in my office.
Yeah, definitely a lot of math, and I still want to see that whiteboard. We're chatting with Milford Mayor Rich Smith, and I think on average, the local towns and cities are getting hit pretty hard. For a lot of different reasons, and Mayor Smith being very candid about just the kind of the uphill battle in particular his city is facing. I've heard this from Stratford residents, Mayor Smith. I've heard this from Fairfield residents. I really have heard from most of the communities that WACC really focuses on, which is, you know, Fairfield County, the Valley, and Lower New Haven County, which includes Milford, obviously. Contracts, you had said. I was curious if there are departments that if we're, you know, kind of doing a spending freeze right now, or hey, we can't really hire new people at this point. Were there any departments that felt this is going to impact them poorly, that they can't bring more people on board?
No, I have vetted it with all the department heads in a timely way. So they know if there were issues, we would have talked about it and prepared for it. Again, this spending freeze is through the fiscal year, which is June 30th. So that lands last
June 30th of this year.
Of this year.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it's only a few months. Okay. But it's one step of a many-step process to just contain costs. Buy down debt, spending freeze, hiring freeze, all these things, the phase-in, anything we can do right now to control costs. And my feeling is, well, the people of Milford may not be happy with the reval and the effect it has. And I know Stratford's thinking about, as we call, ripping the Band-Aid off and doing it all at once.
Oh, are they? I don't know. I haven't talked to Mayor Sanchez yet. Yeah.
I talked to one of his folks the other day. And I get that. If you had asked me any given day over the last many weeks, you would have gotten a different answer. It
right.
was a coin toss.
Yeah.
But someone said to me, if you have a tool that can soften the blow and you don't use it, then you're responsible.
Right.
And I got that. If we did it all at once, then it would have been behind us. People would have had to understand the state required this. Your property went up. taxes went up 10%, even though our spending didn't go up. But that's not good enough.
Mm.
If I had a way to soften it, I would. So, and I did. So what I think people will believe, if I'm transparent, they know I'm working day and night in that office, and God knows I am. I'm there till 6, 7 o'clock.
By the way, I did see his whiteboard. It's honestly, I just cleared this week's. It actually looked pretty chaotic. My whiteboard did just a minute ago, but I just cleared it to start working on next week's. Yours has me beat by far. And mine's chaotic, let me tell you. Mine is chaotic.
Well,
but yeah.
And if you flip mine over, the other side is just as bad.
It's a little overwhelming for me. I don't know if I can handle that. You know, I think it's important that, you know, something you had mentioned before, Mayor Smith, that's, I think, very vital, especially while we're in a legislative session, is the amount of pressure that falls at the local level that could be, I'm not saying entirely, but could be alleviated, especially during this session, but by the state is really my big thing here. And so, you know, ECS funding, for example, or when we talk about why don't we have some kind of a property tax break, these are the conversations that, to your point earlier, this is not a partisan issue. I would think Democratic and Republican leaders in these towns are saying the state needs to do something.
Absolutely.
Significant.
And I'm actually meeting with our state senator today.
Which one? Mr. Maroney?
Mr. Maroney.
He was just on my show yesterday.
I know. He probably canceled his meeting with me yesterday to be here. That explains it.
Oh, sorry about that.
But I've told him, I need money. I went and said, I need $10 million. I don't think we'll get $10 million, but I need...
What do you need $10 million for?
Just to soften the blow to
right.
help the taxpayers.
You're like, we're dying over here.
But the point I was making earlier, which I just want to underscore, I trust that the taxpayers of Milford, when they know how hard I'm working, that I'm pulling every lever I can... against really this maelstrom of circumstances from, you know, over $250,000 in labor for snow, healthcare costs going up, all of this. I'm not complaining. I own it. But I'm going to be transparent with them. And I find that you get the respect. People say, just tell me what's going on.
Right. Just give me the
just
facts.
Give me the
and
facts,
then I'll figure it
be
out.
Be honest. Work hard. And try to make the city better every day. And when I go to bed at night, I was racking my brain about what to do in this case. What I need to do is the best I can and be able to go to bed at night thinking I delivered for the city of Milford.
Mm.
And I'm going to get out there. I'm going to start doing videos. I'm going to have an open house scheduled for commissions and boards to come and meet the public and tell them what we do. We have a newsletter we started. So we're really doing a lot in the transparency thing. And I'll probably do a session, just come and meet the mayor. So I just want to share what's going on, be excited about the challenges, and leave Milford better. For having been here.
Well, and I appreciate you giving us the time here on WICC because that's what this platform is for. And like I said, I know we are trying to line up having more of these types of conversations. I know things get kind of caught up with the legislative session, but these conversations matter. We have residents who specifically wanted to hear about this, so I think it's important. And one more thing, Mayor, only because you mentioned it before, you had said we need the Board of Aldermen, I believe, or Finance. There's so many boards. To approve the budget, education.
Board of Aldermen.
Board of Aldermen, that's what I thought. Did the part of the education budget, including hiring retired officers for all the elementary schools, did that get passed?
It did, by the Board of Finance.
It did?
It did.
Okay, so that is going forward. And when we talked about spending freeze, that isn't including our police and fire.
No. Well, it's we carve out public safety issues. We'll never freeze out the need for public safety.
Okay.
So we'll always deal with that. But the spending and hiring freeze is more general. But I've talked to both chiefs, and they're aware of this. And if there's a need, an urgent need, we will certainly rise to it. And with the Board of Ed budget, I think they did a great job of keeping their budget tight. I've been in touch with Dr. Kataya many times over the past many months. They eliminated a lot of spending, even important stuff, in order to bring it in very tight. So it's the first time the Board of Ed budget has passed the Board of Finance in 4 years.
Wow. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, we need to send a signal to parents that we care about education in this city.
Yeah, absolutely. Mayor Smith, I thank you so much for also stopping in studio. Sorry about that. My gosh, but I'm glad that I had you here, and welcome back anytime.
Thanks for having me, Melissa. You have a good day now.
Yes, you too.